Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and those of you who are joining us online. We have just a couple of announcements this morning. Since it's the first Sunday of the month, we are having our basket offering. And this month, the basket offering will go to Silly, which is our younger kid, elementary age kids youth group. And so that basket will be passed around after the regular offering. This week, we have our midweek Lenten supper, which will be provided by the council. It's going to be chicken and dumplings from Southern Lunch. So we hope you'll join us for that and that you'll stay for worship after. We only have one birthday this week. It is for Pat Elder. Would you like to lead us in prayer, Brantley?
Once only to the Lord has today, say grace. Bless the God name, maybe stand to the restand and call for these are so awful. Raise the mountain, they fall in your heart. May your pieces be passed. Oh, just a Monday, son of a. Sorry, just to me. You just shine a wall.
Amen. Thank you for praying for us. All right, that's a short bit of announcements this morning, but let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand as you are able. B- Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who makes a way in the wilderness, who walks with us, who guides us on our pilgrimage. Amen. Holy One, we confess that we have wandered far from you. We have not trusted your promises. We have ignored your prophets in our own day. We have squandered our inheritance of grace. We have failed to recognize you in our midst. Have mercy on us. Forgive us and turn us again to you. Teach us to follow in your ways. Assure us again of your love. And help us to love our neighbor. Amen. Beloved in Christ, the Word draws near to you. In Jesus, God's love comes to you again and again and gathers you under wings of love. In Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven. God journeys with you and teaches you how to live in love. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Let us pray. Holy God, through your Son, you have called us to live faithfully and act courageously. Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace, and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Conrad. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Maddie. Hi, everybody. How are y'all doing today? Doing all right? Well, in just a minute, you're gonna get to go to Children's Church with Tina and play some handbells. And I think that is, yeah, with Tina. And you are gonna have so much fun. But I wanted to talk to you for just a minute. Yes, pal? Did your mom help you light the candles? That's so kind. Thanks, Mom. Moms always help us do so much, don't they? Well, speaking of moms helping us, you know, moms help us do something else sometimes. Have you ever felt mad? Raise your hand if you've ever felt mad before. You've never felt mad, really? Well, that's good. You've been mad 1,000 times before? In a basketball game? Cameron, have you ever been mad? Never? Kate, have you ever been mad? Yeah, I know I've been mad. I got mad this week. Somebody I love was being hurt, and it made me really, really mad. Well, sometimes when we get mad, what kind of faces do we make? Can you make a mad face? What's a mad face look like? Yeah, can you make a mad face, Maddie? No? What are some of the things we do when we get mad? Oh, sometimes we have some energy that might make us want to hit. That might happen too. Well, in a little bit, when you guys go to Children's Church, we're going to read a story about a time when Jesus got mad. And Jesus got mad because he saw people being taken advantage of. And I just want to tell you guys that it's okay to be mad. God made all of you and called it good. And God created your emotions, your feelings. And God gave us our feelings to help us live our life. And so it's okay to be mad because God gave that to us. But it's not okay to hurt ourselves or to hurt other people when we're mad. Right? Sometimes we can hurt other people or ourselves with our body. Sometimes we can hurt ourselves or other people with our words. And so even though it's okay to be mad, it's not good to hurt other people or ourselves when we're mad. And so that's where mommies come in, because if you're mad, you can talk to a grown-up or to your mommy, and you can say, "Mommy, I'm really mad and I need help." And your mom can say, "Okay, well, let's take some deep breaths." Or, "You know what, why don't we take a rest for a little bit? Sometimes when I'm mad, taking a nap helps me." Maybe you can take a break, do some stretches. Your parents, your moms, your grown-ups can help you when you're mad so that you can be mad without hurting somebody or yourself. So I just want you to know it's okay to be mad. And there are good ways that we can be mad, and then there are ways that can hurt others, and we don't want to do those. All right, will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Thank you for making us and for giving us our feelings. Help us to remember that when we're mad, our anger might have something to tell us. So help us listen. And help us ask our grown-ups when we need help, so that we don't hurt others or ourselves. We love you, God. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up. You can go to Children's Church and go play some handbells. You're going to go with Tina, because on Easter Sunday, everybody, on Easter Sunday, they're going to play a song for us in worship. We know it'll be very special.
Our New Testament lesson is from the 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The message about the cross is the foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, of the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish of the wisdom of the world? For since it is in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demanded signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and the God's weakness is stronger than the human strength. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to John, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think I've shared this with all of you before, so it's no secret, but Sundays are my favorite day of the week. And it's not just because most Sundays I get to take an afternoon nap, although I do love my Sunday afternoon naps. Sundays are my favorite day of the week because I get to see all of you. No matter how the week has been, no matter what has happened or transpired, I can count on us coming together to worship on Sundays. We come together to recenter ourselves in God's love. We come together to confess our sins and receive forgiveness. We come together to hear God's word, which sometimes comforts us and sometimes convicts us. We come together to be fed with the body and blood of Christ, to be nourished and strengthened with God's grace and comfort in the bread and the wine. We come together to do all of this and to receive all of this so that we can be sent back out again into the world for another week of sharing God's love and grace with one another, with others, and the world. I've also been looking forward to this particular Sunday because I'm so excited for us to sing together our hymn of the day, the Canticle of the Turning. I'm sure you probably remember, it's one of my very favorite hymns. It was sung at my ordination, it was sung at my installation here, and someday it will be sung at my memorial service. The melody, when Judy plays it on the piano, does something in my heart and my mind because it's so beautiful, and the lyrics so powerfully put into words the hope that we have in God. They put into words who Jesus was and is, and the work that he came into the world to do. These lyrics put into words for us what God's kingdom truly looks like. The lyrics and the tune are a modern version of Mary's Magnificat. Mary, newly pregnant, goes to visit Elizabeth, and after their encounter together, and Mary being filled with the Spirit, she sings this song from her heart, praising God for what God was doing in her and for what God would do through the one whom she was growing and carrying in her womb. Her song rejoices that God's ways are not human ways or the world's ways. God lifts up the lowly, not the powerful. God cares deeply for the poor and for those on the margins. In her song, Mary proclaims the gospel so boldly and powerfully, and not just with this song, but with her life. The kingdom of God that Christ brings, this reign of God, is a reversal from the kingdom of the world. And that, brothers and sisters, is good, good news. We see this reversal over and over and over again in the Gospels. We see it in today's Gospel lesson when Jesus, filled with righteous anger, turned over the tables in the temple and emptied the bags of money from the money changers. Jesus was not okay with the way things were and the way that things were being done. Because in the kingdom of God, the poor aren't exploited. In the kingdom of God, people aren't taken advantage of. And in the kingdom of God, places of worship are not marketplaces. Jesus makes it very clear that the kingdom of God is a clear break from the way things are. And if we think about it, this isn't anything new, right? Jesus has always brought a reversal. The first shall be last. The least will become the greatest. Jesus includes those who are excluded. Jesus welcomes those who are unwelcomed elsewhere. Jesus loves those whom others deem unlovable. The Gospels are full of Jesus' words and teachings that proclaim that the kingdom of God is different. In the kingdom of God, in the reign of God, the poor are blessed, not the rich. The meek are blessed, not the powerful or strong. And those who make peace are blessed, not those who participate with violence. It's interesting, though, if you think about it. Jesus turning the world upside down is good news to some, but not to everybody. When Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor," and calls his followers over and over and over to care for and provide for the poor, that's not good news to the rich, or to those who take advantage of or exploit the poor. When Jesus includes the ones who are excluded, that's good news for the ones that Jesus includes, but it's not good news for the ones who are trying to keep them out. When Jesus turns over the tables in the temple, that is good news for many, but not those who profit from the temple being a marketplace. Sisters and brothers, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love and peace and justice and mercy that Jesus brought and continues to bring, is a complete reversal, and it turns the world absolutely and completely upside down. Because the truth is that the things that Jesus says and teaches and does are opposed to the way of the world, to the ways of the world that we live in. This is why the religious leaders of Jesus' day opposed him so vehemently, even to the point of executing him. It was because Jesus didn't maintain the status quo. Jesus didn't participate in the way that things were or had been done. Jesus ushered in a new world, the kingdom of God, and in doing so, he turned everything upside down. Brothers and sisters, that is the reign of God, the kingdom of God that you have been raised to in your baptism. When we go down in those waters, when we are sprinkled with those waters, we die to ourselves, to the ways of the world, to the ways of selfishness and greed and violence and apathy and indifference, to hatred and injustice. And we rise up out of those waters as new creations, as new creatures who have been raised to new and eternal life in the kingdom of God. And not only have you been raised to new life in this world-turning, upside-down kingdom, you are called to live it out. We are called to follow Jesus by living lives that do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. The kingdom of God, this reign of heaven, isn't something that we're going to live in someday after we die like a prize. No, we are living in it now. Because when you are baptized, that's when you receive eternal life, and that's when eternal life begins, until forever. You're living in the kingdom of God now, because Jesus has brought it near to us. And now we get to spend our lives bringing it near to others by doing justice and loving mercy and walking humbly with God. So when you come to the font today, dip your finger in that water. Make the sign of the cross on your forehead like that cross that was made in your baptism. and remind yourself that you have died to the ways of this world, and you have been raised into new and eternal life. And in those waters, you are given the call to bring the kingdom of God near to others. And then come to the table and be fed and nourished and strengthened with God's grace, so that we can be sent out into the world to bring near to others the kingdom of God that Jesus continues to turn upside down. May our hearts sing of the day that God brings, and may our very lives proclaim that God is turning the world upside down. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and the world in need. You alone are God. We thank you for the gift of the Sabbath rest. Awaken the church to the mystery of your presence. Give us glad hearts as we receive the good news of your saving grace. Hear us, O God. You renew creation. Drive out those who would make the earth a marketplace. Protect rainforests, mountaintops, oceans, wilderness areas for commercial exploitation. Unite nations, policymakers, and businesses in efforts to reduce carbon emissions. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You judge the nations. We pray for an end to war and strife in every land, especially Palestine, Ukraine, and Sudan. Strengthen international efforts to negotiate peace and provide humanitarian aid to people enduring violence. Hear us, O God. You bring healing and hope. We give thanks for physicians, nurses, researchers, therapists, and public health workers who prevent and treat illnesses. We pray for those who are sick, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Gianna, Bonnie, Scott, Kara, Joe, Neil, Jim, Mike and Joanna, Anna, Jim, our friends and family listen in the bulletin, and those we name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You abide with your people. Sustain any in this community undergoing life transitions, marriage, divorce, childbirth, adoption, moving, graduation, employment change, or a death in the family. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You bring life from death. We remember our loved ones who have died, confident that they have a new life in you. May we trust that nothing can separate us from your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Accompany us on our journey,
God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Thank you.
Let us pray together. Jesus, you are the bread of life
and the host of this meal. Bless these gifts that we have gathered, that all people may know your goodness. Feed us not only with this holy food, but with hunger for justice and peace. We pray this in your name. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of Freedom. Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Here is bread for our journey, a feast for hungry hearts. Come.
Thank you.
please stand for the table blessing? The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, accompany our Lenten journey and lead us to the gift of baptism, that we may provide for those who are poor, pray for those in need, fast from self-indulgence, and above all, that we may find our treasure in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Beloved children of God, we are God's own people, holy, washed, and renewed. God bless you and keep you, shower you with mercy, fill you with courage, and give you peace. Amen.
We say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in love and action to a needy world.
Peace. Jesus walks with you. Thanks be to God.